As you scroll the headlines about Russia, Iran, and the Middle East, have you ever wondered if the Bible actually predicted all of this? In Ezekiel 38, God describes a massive northern coalition marching against a secure Israel, what many call the Gog-Magog War. Could we be living in those latter years right now, watching prophecy move from the page to the news? Listen in as we walk through Ezekiel 38, the coming judgment, and why today may be the day of salvation. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org. Hey, we are going to dive into Old Testament Tuesday. It's one of my favorite days of the week because we go back in the Bible to look at the foundation that is laid for the New Testament. So we are in the book of Ezekiel. And just a friendly reminder, if you are enjoying this series in Old Testament Tuesday, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, and comment. And if you're inside that Washington Defender app, place this inside of your huddle. Also, if you are a financial partner of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much for your generosity. All right, so we are in Ezekiel chapter 38. Now, just to remind you, we've seen throughout this book so far, a lot of things takes place. Ezekiel is in exile in Babylon. We see that God has disciplined the nation of Israel, that God has also disciplined surrounding nations that stepped in and weren't supposed to step in, that he is causing there to be a refinement of the area so that people will know, our nations will know, that he is the Lord, the God of Israel. Okay, so then in chapter 36, we start seeing it move to the mountains of Israel to be blessed. And then chapter 37, many scholars believe that that was May 14th, 1948, after the Holocaust, where 6 million Jews were murdered. We see that the Valley of Dry Bones, that they come alive. And then in Ezekiel chapter 38, where we are today, we begin to see some future events. And I would just say, as you watch the news, I was just watching the news right before I started recording this. It's very, very interesting what is happening in Iran or Persia, what's happening in Russia, which some call that Rosh or the kingdom to the north. And so I'm just going to read it and let you kind of come up with your own opinions. So here we go. Ezekiel chapter 38, it says, "And the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, set your face towards Gog, of the land of Magog." So Gog is a ruler, the land of Magog. "The prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and prophesy against him." Okay, so whoever this Gog dude is, he's supposed to prophesy against him and say, "Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. I will turn you about and put hooks into your mouth, and I will bring you out and all your army, horses and horsemen, all of them splendidly attired, a great company with buckler and shield, all of them wielding swords, Persia, Ethiopia, and put with them all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer with all its truth, Bethograb from the remotest parts of the north, with all of its truth, many peoples with you. Be prepared and prepare yourself, you and all your companies that are assembled about you, and be a guard for them. After many days, you will be summoned in the latter years. You will come into the land that is restored from the sword, whose inhabitants have been gathered from many nations to the mountains of Israel, which has been a continual waste, but its people were brought out from the nations, and they are living securely, all of them." Okay, so whoever this Gog is, prince of Magog, we find a little bit in chapter 39, verse 1. "And you, son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm against you, O Gog, prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and I will turn you around, drive you on, take you up from the remotest parts of the north. So whatever this Gog, Magog, Rosh, all that is, It's north of Israel. Okay. That's what we learned in 39, 1 and 2. And it's interesting because when you read this, many have called this the Ezekiel 38 war, which is different than Armageddon in the book of Revelation at towards the end of the book. And the reason why we know it's different is because the description is different. But there's a couple facts that I want you to be aware of. First off, after many days, you will be summoned in the latter years. Okay? So remember, we saw in 36, the mountains are blessed, and we see Israel coming back. 37, the Valley of Dry Bones. Many believe that's May 14th, 1948. We see a little bit future tense of the Davidic kingdom. And then we see in the latter years, you will come into the land that is restored from the sword, okay, whose inhabitants have been gathered from the nations. Whose inhabitants, think about this, whose inhabitants have been gathered from the nations, who was scattered to the nations in Ezekiel's day, and whose inhabitants will have been gathered from the nations to the mountains of Israel, which had been a continual waste, but its people were brought out of the nations. So the nations were brought out of the nations, and they are living securely, all of them. Who would that be? Would that be the Jews? I think you're right. So it says, you will go up and you will come like a storm, you will be like a cloud covering the land, you and all your troops and many peoples with you. So one of the evidences that we know that Israel, the Jews, have a land, they have a people, and they have the covenants of God or the word of God entrusted to them. One of those evidences is that May 14th, 1948, they were reinstated as a nation in one day. You will go up and you'll come against them. Thus saith the Lord God, it will come about on that day that thoughts will come into your mind and you will devise an evil plan. So this Gog, whoever it is, will devise an evil plan. And you will say, I will go up against the land of the unwalled villages. I will go against those who are at rest that live securely, all of them living without walls and having no bars or gates. All right. So many dispute, has this already happened? Has it happened since May 14, 1948, that Israel has become secure and a city without walls? Some say yes. Some say no. We don't know. Some say that has to be set up still. Others say it's already been accomplished. And you will say, I will go up against the unwalled to capture spoil and to seize plunder, to turn your hand against the waste places which are now inhabited and against the people who are gathered from the nations, who have acquired cattle and goods, who live at the center of the world. Now, isn't that interesting? At the end of verse 12, it says that Israel is the center of the world. We're seeing Trump trying to negotiate with Persia or Iran. Why? Because of Israel. Because of their threat on America. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish with all its villages will say to you, have you come to capture spoil? So this Gog and Magog, Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal will begin to head towards the unwalled city to get spoil. Have you assembled your company to receive plunder? They will come to get plunder, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to capture great spoil. Therefore prophesy, son of man, and say to Gog, thus saith the Lord God, oh, that the day when my people Israel are living securely, will you not know it? So some say this is happening right now. You will come from your place out of the remotest parts of the north. Where? From the north. So some people say, this isn't Rosh, isn't Russia. Well, okay, so when you look north of Jerusalem, what is there? I mean, there's Iran, it's a little bit more to the east, you know. But really, Russia is huge, and it's the largest landmass north of them. And you will come against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land, and it shall come about in the last days that I will bring you against my land so that the nations may know me when I am sanctified through you before their eyes. Now, this is important. This is verse 16. He says, why am I doing this? So the nations may know that I am saying, know me, God, so that the nations may know me when I am sanctified through you before their eyes, O Gog. So one of the things we see in Israel and this whole thing with Persia and Russia, all these places that are currently in battle today, we know that God's going to eventually act so the nations will know that he is God. Thus saith the Lord God, are you the one of whom I spoke in former days through my servants and the prophets of Israel who prophesied in those days for many years that I would bring you against them? It will come about on that day when God comes against the land of Israel, declares the Lord God, that my fury will mount up in my anger. Could you imagine God being that angry at you? In my zeal and in my blazing wrath, I declare that on that day, there will surely be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. So we might see on that day, whatever day that is, we might see a great earthquake. The fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, the beasts of the fields, all the creeping things that creep on the earth, all of the men who are on the face of the earth will shake at my presence. The mountains will also be thrown down. The steep pathways will collapse and every wall will fall to the ground. I will call for a sword against him on my mountains, declares the Lord God. Every man's sword will be against his brother. Excuse me. With pestilence and with blood, I will enter the judgment with him, and I will rain on him and on his troops and the many peoples who are with him, a torrential rain with hailstones, fire, and brimstone. I will magnify myself, sanctify myself, and make myself known in the sight of many nations, and they will know that I am the Lord. So that very last phrase there, the Gog-Magog war in Ezekiel 38. It's going to be a war that God wins the battle for them. And he wins it for Israel so that what? God may magnify himself, sanctify himself, and make myself known in the sight of many nations. We might just see that. We don't know. The rapture could happen first. We're not sure, but we might see that. And they will know that I am the Lord. Do you know that the Lord is the Lord? And if you don't, let me tell you how to know. The Bible says that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, that he rose again, that you may have eternal life. That if you confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Today is the day of salvation. Turn from your sin, repent, ask God for forgiveness, and accept the free gift of God's grace and mercy through the Son, Jesus Christ. Allow Jesus to pay for your sins. I can remember when I did it. He became Lord of my life. Then go get baptized and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. Today is the day of salvation. We're in the latter years. We're in the end times. Repent. God is coming for his bride soon, and the judgments of God are going to be coming on the nations. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do repent of our sin. We turn to you, the living God, and we ask for your forgiveness. God, we, by faith, through grace, accept the payment of Jesus Christ on the cross. We accept the very fact that he died for our sins and that he conquered sin and death by resurrecting from the dead on the third day. By faith, we allow that atonement, that payment, to take place over our lives. So go before us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now get out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.